I can do that.
Okay, well, you're supposed to do it now. What we wrote down, do it now, the disclaimer.
Oh, right. Hello, you're listening to Modest Joint. That sidewinder Mike Modest uses profanity. Modest talks about wrestling in a candid and mature manner. It is intended for mature audiences.
Dude, perfect. Thank you. Absolutely perfect. Thank you, man.
By the way, I got some things I want to talk about. I got some yard tools I'm a-fixing to get rid of. I paid jack shit for them tools, so I'm selling them cheaper than a quadriplegic, three-tooth, one-eyed whore sells her ass.
Hold on, brother. Hey, man, you can't do that on my show. You're supposed to do the disclaimer only.
Well, you got the bonus plan, didn't you, Mr. Hot Shot Pro Wrestler?
Hey, dude, get out of here. Man, this isn't the home flea market channel, you piece of garbage. Man, that guy, what an idiot. Get out of here.
I got a gun. You're going to need it.
Get out. I said get out of here.
Jerk. You yellow belly sap.
I'm really sorry about that. Welcome to Modest Joint. I'm really glad to have you here. Wow, that guy was a nut.
Sack sucker!
Man, hold on a second. I gotta see if that guy's still here. Yeah, a guy comes over to my pad, man, threatening me with a gun. What the hell is wrong with people? Hold on.
Alright, he's gone. You weren't in danger, though. Don't worry. Come on in, man.
Wow. You know, I gotta stop going to the liquor store. I'm going to the convenience store, you know. And that's where I pick these people up. You know, they need a little work. They're sitting out in front. They got no job, whatever the deal is. So I try to give them a little work, help them out. I give them $25. Let them go on their merry way. All they gotta do is read some words, you know. These people here. There you go. Got a nice comfy seat for you. You're all set. Welcome to Modest Joint. I'm really glad that you're here. Wrestling is hardcore. And this is Mike Modest. The content of this week's show. Well, first of all, I have to announce, sadly, regrettably, Frank Murdoch will not be on the show. Frank has a form of flesh-eating bacteria eating away at his kneecaps, and right now he is at the doctor's, and so he couldn't be here, and we're all pretty shaken up about it. It's just a really bizarre situation. So anyways, so that's going on. I've got my top 10, as always, and this week I've got two top 10s. I don't know exactly where they are. But I do have my trusty notes, so I'm hoping that's where the other one is. I found one, and I just thought, man, I got to get this thing done. It's been kind of a rough week. I've been very busy. I'm starting a new wrestling school, Iron Wrestling Academy. I'm also teaming with Chick Fight and training female wrestlers, an all-female class. And so I'm very excited about those two things. I also wrestled for a Pro Wrestling Revolution this weekend, and got three words for you. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. Not quite the style of wrestling that I'm used to. It's more of a lucha entertainment kind of thing, and but that's okay, man. It definitely has its place in the business, and it definitely pleases the people in the crowd. It's a very kid-friendly show, and huge crowd, drew like 1,000 people. It was awesome. Excuse me. Let's see. I got other shit to talk about too. You know what? If you listen to my show at all, you'll understand the gist of things, and you'll understand it's kind of fly by the seat of my pants kind of situation here. I don't really have a whole lot of like in particular subjects to talk about, but I have like little things to say about a lot of different things this week. I've got a lot of good emails coming up, so just hold on to your seat. We're starting Modest Joint right now. Let's see. First, let's start off with the top 10. And this is the top 10 reasons that Jim Cornette is a saint. You know, I listened to Kenny Bolin's The Bolin Alley this last week. And, yeah, you know, that guy just strikes me as kind of a shady character, man. And, you know, Jim Cornette, I know the man personally. He's a straight shooter. If he's hot at you, he tells you so. You know, that I, as far as I know and everything I've ever heard about Jim Cornette, is he's a stand-up guy. So I thought to myself, well, what are some of, you know, Jim Cornette's redeeming qualities? What are some of the things that I happen to know, being a personal friend of Jim Cornette's? Not near as close as Kenny Bolin. I don't claim to be Jim Cornette's best friend. I did not go to his wedding. But then again, I didn't try to slip his wife the tongue on their wedding day or at the reception. So this is my top 10 reasons that, to me, Jim Cornette is a saint. Number 10, when he speaks, it is like listening to gospel. Number 9, every tag team he touches turns to gold, or at least they have a lot of cold hard cash in their pockets. Number 8, he has picked up the tab the last 39 times he and Kenny Bolin have gone to dinner. Now, you think about this. I've talked to Jim's accountant, actually, about this. And hold on, let me get my other side notes here. I have some side notes. Hold on a second. I actually put some figures. Let's see here. What did I do? Okay, I actually called Jim Cornette's accountant. I've got the paperwork right here. I called his accountant, and I found that every time that him and Jim went out, Jim picked up the tab the last 39 times, and that Kenny's tab, on average, is $121.23 per meal. Jim Cornette's average meal is $38.79 per meal. Now, you times that by 39 times, and, I mean, Jim is spending a lot of damn money feeding this guy. And it's like, you know, they're not married or anything. You know, it's crazy. And then Kenny gives Jim a hard time when he's paying him out with the credit card. He gives him a hard time on tipping the waitress. He tells him, well, you know, why don't you tip her 40, 50%, you know, and then tries to pass it off like he's picking up the tab. He wants to grab the credit card and hand it to her. It's just unreal. You know, he's trying to score on a waitress, you know, some single mom trying to earn a living. It's disgusting. Anyways, I digress. Number 7. Cornette, this is the number 7 reason that, for me, Jim Cornette is a saint. Cornette Paper Industries, makers of fine paper products such as paper towels and paper plates, named their company after James E. Cornette, feeling the name synonymous with reliability, integrity, and value. Number 6, Jim Cornette voted for Barack Obama. The number 5 reason that Jim is a saint, Dairy Queen Kindest Customer Award 15 years running. Now, you think about that nationally, and this guy is nailing it yearly, okay? He is so over with Dairy Queen. They send him coupons. It's just crazy. Number 4, Cornette, I think I'm pronouncing that right, is the French word for kind, knowledgeable one. Number 3 reason that Jim is a saint, he is freakishly competent in tennis. He has a wicked backhand, and yet he didn't beat the living shit out of Kenny Bolin for trying to tongue his wife at his wedding. Instead, he turned the other cheek, which I think we all know someone else who preaches that and said that many years ago. Turn the other cheek. Number 2, Jim Cornette gave Crash Holly and Vic Grimes a chance at this business through the help of J.R. Benson, Ron Head, Stacy, and Brenda. And the number 1 reason that for me Jim Cornette is a saint, he always listened to his mama. So let me talk real quick about the Iron Wrestling Academy. We are opening it. We do have a building. We don't have an opening date yet, though. We are in the middle of marketing it. What I'm closer to doing is, and this is the bigger announcement, is that I have teamed with Chick Fight and Melissa Anderson competing in TNA, and we're going to be training female wrestlers. You know, it's going to be an all-female class. So that's really exciting. I think there's a lot of opportunity for women in this business, a lot of different opportunities that didn't exist so many years ago, or not very many years ago. So it's an exciting time for women in the sport, and so I'm excited about that opportunity. Tommy Fierro kind of compared me to the modern-day Piper's Pit. And, man, I'll tell you what, I wish I was one quarter the personality that Piper is, man. I wish I could just sit down and talk with that guy 30 minutes, an hour, whatever, and just bullshit with him, just hang out with him, go see a movie or whatever. And I guarantee you, just in that amount of time, not even talking about wrestling, I'd be able to pick up some knowledge from this guy. That's how much I respect this, you know, Roddy Piper and some of the guys that were in the company at the time in WWF. And, you know, I've been watching on YouTube. I watched Piper versus Hogan. And, man, really awesome. Just what an incredible match. And, you know, I think there was a combination of, like, maybe five or six moves, but such an entertaining match. And, man, they just – they brought the brawl and they brought the fight to it in a way that you just don't see anymore. And I don't know, man. There is just something missing, and it's there. When I watch it, I say, "Wow, that's it." And it is hard to define. Had to be in one of my opinions, Piper, one of the greatest in this business. Oh, here we are. Check this out. This is my second 10. Top 10. You know, this shit might be getting boring to you. If it is, just take a hike, man. You know, the door's right there. You know where it is. Here's my top 10 scientific. Now, this was an actual medical scientific study on me, Michael Modest, and it was very odd. They came and they presented it to me. They wrapped me up in bubble tape, and I don't know. They had thermometers sticking in the bubble wraps and all kinds of crazy stuff, man. They were pouring gel on. It was just nuts. So anyways, they did all these tests on me and poked and prodded, and they drew blood and all these things, and these are some of the findings that they came up with. And so I just thought maybe some of you would like to hear about it. Number 10, 4 out of 5 dentists say that Mike Modest helps prevent tooth decay by knocking out most of your teeth whenever you wrestle him. So these are little things, little, you know, things that people don't know, and these are scientifically proven now. Number 9, when Michael Modest smiles, the world smiles with him. Scientifically proven. Number 8, 4 out of 5 doctors say wrestling Michael Modest is hazardous to your health. Number 7, 4 out of 5 doctors say Michael Modest is exactly like a chiropractor, only completely different. Number 6, wrestling Mike Modest side effects include nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, migraines, lip palpitations, increased anxiety, irritation, increased heart rate, and pain. Number 7, Michael Modest insisted on no animal testing during the scientific study of Michael Modest. Just again, just a fact about the study. Number 6, when Mike Modest does a push-up, he doesn't push himself up. He pushes the world down. Number 5, I stole that one. And any of you that know, it's from the Chuck Norris list, man. But it's just a classic. I had to steal it. But I give props when I do. Number 5, when life gives Mike Modest shit, Mike makes shitonade. Number 4, Michael Modest is clinically insane. Again, these are proven. Number 3, my clothesline delivers exactly 1,023 pounds of impact. Number 2, Michael Modest stays crispy in milk. And the number 1 proven medical scientific fact about Michael Modest is Michael Modest is environmentally friendly and recyclable. That's right. I am a donor, so one day you might have one of my eyes. I don't know if they can even do that right now, but anyway. So anyways, I wrestled SPW a couple weeks ago, and a very interesting night that was, and I had a really good time. I mentioned last time that I wrestled Adam Thornstow, but since then, Mike Modest, the inquisitive journalist that I am, I had to kind of delve into a side story on the match that I witnessed. There was a battle royal. The show started off with a battle royal, and it was in honor of, like, Halloween, so everybody was kind of dressed up. Well, there was this guy, and back east, I guess he used to wrestle as the God of Rock. He doesn't have a great body. I would guess he's like 180. Nice guy, respectful, complimentary, maybe a little over-friendly, especially if you don't know the guy. He dressed up like a chick for this thing, like a gay wrestler kind of thing. Some makeup, half shirt, you know, twisted into a tie, that kind of thing, you know. And, you know, he goes out there, he comes back, he's got a bloody nose, and, you know, he's kind of busted up and limping a little. And he goes up and he says to this guy, Rick Luxury, he says, Rick, you know, what happened, man? You know, and Rick says, dude, you didn't sell for me, so, you know, I nailed you and made you sell. So I kind of find out that, you know, maybe this kid did get a little roughed up. You know, I talked to my girlfriend, and she had said she watched the match, and it looked like Rick kind of laid into him a little bit, you know. And then a couple of the other guys laid into him a little bit. Nothing serious. You know, they gave him a little beating, you know, good, honest beating. And the guy did what he was supposed to do, man. This guy's name was Chris. And he went back, and he thanked Rick Luxury. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, man. You know, next time I'll get it right. And just smiled and took it. And, you know, that's the best thing you can do sometimes when you're trying to get in this business or you work in a new territory. You know, you're going to get a couple of pot shots from a couple of guys, yada, yada. You know, toughen up, man. You know, go back and ask for seconds. Thank you, sir. May I have another? That's what I did in this business. And you learn from it. It's good for you. As long as it doesn't get serious, you know. The kid had a little busted lip or something. Other than that, it's not like Rick was picking him up, dropping him on his head. You know, Rick gave him a couple of good stiff shots. I think that's missing in this business sometimes. And other times, I think it's delivered times inappropriately for no reason at all. But anyways, that was one of the little things, like I was saying. I got a lot of little things to talk about. So I did some investigative journalism, and I found out, yeah, he did get a little roughed up, but, you know, good for you. Another little thing I want to talk about, actually, it's a big thing. John Anderson, you should see this guy, man. Strongman John Anderson. Antonio Inoki has his greedy paws on him right now, and he's using them in Japan. And John is just a hell of a find. He's a strongman. You know, he's done all those competitions and stuff. He's got a phenomenal build. He's just huge. Quite a gentleman. Very level-headed businessman. Looks a lot like Scott Steiner. And I'll tell you what a tag team these guys would make. Oh, my God. Make the Road Warriors look like guys that maybe needed to do a couple of push-ups. So anyways, I'm listening to John, and he's talking over, he's doing a handicap match against these two kids. And these kids are telling him, you know, we want to do a double drop kick, and you kind of no-sell it, you know, and go back, and then we do this, and you no-sell it, and you go back, and blah, 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 and we charge the ropes, and you give us this, and, you know, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, what the fuck are these guys doing, man? These guys are just breaking into the business. Their job tonight in a handicap match is strictly to get John over. Not that John needs a whole lot of help, but that's the whole purpose for being there. It's kind of like the extra, okay? Now, I'm not talking about the dude that Jet Li fights at the end of the film. I'm not talking about the fight that lasts, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. I'm talking about the guy that Jet Li does a freaking 360 triple Lindy kick to the top of the cranium, they do the x-ray thing and it shows the skull cracking and the dude falls down dead from one shot. That's the dude I'm talking about. Now, that guy's cast in the movie for a reason. And it's the same way in wrestling, man. If you're a jobber, and that is your job, recognize your role. Do your job well. It'll show that you're a value. You're a good hand to that company. So I had to say something, and I said, you know what, guys? Here's the deal. I hope you don't mind me saying something, John and Gabe. I gave Gabe Ramirez, you know, obvious respect. It's his company. But I just felt like I had to say something. And I said, you know what, guys? You don't need to throw a double drop kick. You don't need to do any kind of flips. You don't need to climb the top rope unless John's just going to catch you and fuck you up with it. All you need to do is bump. Let John mess you up and bump you. You grab him a couple of times trying to do some kind of wrestling hold, and he tosses you off, and then he beats you. Flat out, plain and simple. I said, what you guys don't understand is that John's a business. His body, his physique, his look is what makes him money. And John doesn't want to get hurt tonight in front of 1,000 people in San Jose wrestling the opening match in a handicap match. John wants to escape tonight without bumping once. John wants to make his money and keep going on about what he's doing. And I said, and if I'm not mistaken, that's why it's the opening match. And I'm thinking that's what Gabe wants too. And Gabe was like, yeah, that's it. So anyways, these kids rethought it, man. And I give my hat off to them because I watched the match and it was great. They both did a phenomenal job. I had so much respect for these kids because that's where I started in this business. And I watched them put this big dude over. And they may never have a chance at real success in this business. They've got a long road ahead of themselves. And it's a rough, rocky son of a bitch. But I was really proud of them. And they took my advice. And they just put John over in everything they did in the ring. And in the process, they got themselves over. For being good workers, for being good employees. So anyways, that's my little piece about John Anderson. Now let me get on to some emails. Now I'm gonna go back into the main house here. I'm out in Modest Joint right now, the garage, like I told you. You know, I don't pull any punches, man. I tell it like it is. Just getting a little drink of water here. Don't drink enough of the shit. Drink way too much coffee. It's what gets me going. So my emails, man. Here's the thing with the emails. They've been kind of ridiculous lately. They're killing me. Brutal, brutal stuff. Now, first I get an email from E. Jones. And E. Jones addresses me as Dear Sir Michael Modest, please review my match and tell me what I may need to improve on. And I'm just giving you an edited version of the email. So I click on the damn link, and it's a effing trampoline match. It's two guys jumping around on a trampoline. Now, they're like 17, 18 years old, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, what in the hell do I do with this? And, you know, I'm the same way as, like, Jim Cornette. I did listen to Boland's show, and Jim's trying to mellow out a little bit. And I'm trying to do the same thing, man. You know, opening a wrestling school and stuff like that. I got to be a little professional. I can't just fly off the top of my head and, you know, just knee-jerk reaction everything, you know, knee-jerk reaction my way through life. So I responded. I was like, well, first step, go get trained. Second step, get out of the fucking trampoline and into a ring. You'll find that the bumps are a little different. You'll find that you don't jump so high and you aren't able to do Frankensteiner so easily. So anyways, I responded kind of kindly, and the kid took it well. Then R. Rice says, Mr. Modest, my name is R. Rice. I am the commissioner of APWA, I think is what it was. I don't have the computer on right now, but I'm just going by my notes, and it looks like I wrote APWA. Could have been APXA. I don't know. Could have been anything, man. So that's my point. You know, if you're the promoter of some little indie, gig way out in the middle of nowhere, give me a little history, man. When you send me a thing, you know, asking me, do I want to be a part of your thing? I don't know. You might be some right-wing terrorist group for all I know. No, I don't want to be a part of it unless I know about it. You know, so give me a little history. How long you been in business? Who have you stiffed? You know, just a little rundown. All right, so another email, man. So people keep asking me these freaking questions, man, just weird things, you know. Put a little more thought into it before you address me. I take your email seriously, so take me seriously when you address me. You know, it's like, I mean, I'm going to give you some other samples, okay? These are other examples of stupid questions, okay? Do you have any advice on the grapefruit diet? What's your favorite wrestling game? Do you prefer paper or plastic? I mean, come on, man. Give me a break. Then finally, a good question. Someone was asking about the squirt gun incident and the jerking off in my bed incident on last week's Top 10. And they were asking, did these things actually happen, and could you go into a little more detail? I had meant to kind of address it a little more in depth. I'll address it real quick right now in response to that email. And thank you for being a listener, and thank you for asking me a question that has to do with something that I've talked about on the show, and actually paying attention to the fact that, yeah, I did forget to go back and mention those two things. The squirt gun incident, that happened at the Transmission Theater. I was working for a group, I believe they were called Incredibly Strange Wrestling, and they encouraged people to, like, throw tortillas in the ring. And the reason why is because people were throwing hard objects, dangerous shit, beer bottles, yada, yada. So they figured, hey, if we encourage them to throw tortillas, then maybe shit will calm down. So I get into the ring, man. The match is just fucking just crazy off the bat. People are fucking belting me with fucking tortillas and fucking plastic cups and shit. I'm stepping on plastic cups in the fucking ring. I'm doing the Border Patrol gimmick. And this is like 20 years ago, before Gabe Ramirez started using them in Pro Wrestling Revolution. But it was the same gimmick, you know, same gear and all that shit. But I'm not really known for the gimmick, even though I did do my thing with TNA doing the gimmick too. But so I'm in the ring. Spike Dudley is wrestling as El Mexicano Blanco, which I guess roughly translated means the white Mexican. And he's in this little white hood and everything. And Brown Bomber's in there. I think it was Brown Bomber. No, maybe Super Diablo. Anyways, I don't recall. But Matt Heisen, at one point, right at the beginning of the match, some fan, now the fans are right up next to the ring in this place, the Transmission Theater, okay, there's no barricade, so a fan climbs up on the apron, Spike Dudley fucking flies over there like a bat out of hell and belts this fucking guy right in the fucking kisser. This guy takes a Nesty plunge, I mean, just like the fucking old Nesty commercials, man, right off the apron into the crowd. The guy gets up. He kind of no-sells it, man. He shakes it off, hops right back up there. This time, me and Matt are both hitting the fucking guy. We both charge over there, even though we're working against each other. Hey, Border Patrol and Mexicano Blanco, we'll work together and we'll fucking knock this guy down. So we put him down that time. We wrestle the match, very aggressive, crazy kind of crowd. At one point, Spike Dudley spills out onto the floor. He's standing up. He feels a hand touch his back. Fearing that it was, one of these crazy fans, Spike turns around and fucking slaps this chick. Well, this chick happens to be my then-girlfriend, now ex-wife, and he smacks her right across the fucking face, man. I mean, I've never even seen a pimp smack a whore this hard. It was so bad. And Spike rolls back in the ring. He says, Mike, I'm sorry. I said, brother, I know you are, man. And I gave him some stiff shots. But, you know, I'm not going to break the kid's nose. It was an accident, you know. And me and him are in there. And it's just, You know, shit happens. So I dropped him on his head a couple of times with some stiff suplexes and gave him a couple of really stiff chops, tagged in Justice. Justice gave him a couple of stiff chops, and we lightened up and started working. It was all good. You know, what are you going to do? So after the match, me and Justice go over. I climb to the second rope. I raise my hand, okay? And some bitch is standing there, and she's got a squirt gun. This is the number two reason, you know, the top ten had to do with reasons why I'll hit you with a steel folding chair. I didn't hit her with a steel folding chair. I did something different. But she squirts me in the eye with the gun, squirt gun, and I think to myself, what is that? Toilet water? Piss? AIDS-infected blood? I don't know what the fuck you're squirting in my eye. So I decide I'm going to tope on her. I did a crossbody on her and her boyfriend. I punched her boyfriend in the face as I flew. And I got up swinging. I was a nut. I was younger. I was crazy. And what can I say? So that was number two. But if I had a folding chair, I would have smacked her with it. And then the number one thing, of course, was I came home one day. I came back to the APW gym to find out that some kid was up in my loft above the fucking gym. And he was caught jerking off in my bed. I talked to the kid about it and then threw him all around the fucking gym. So long story short, there you go. That's what happened. Let me see. What do I got next here? Oh, more emails. Jeez, man. I got a lot of emails, and I'm really glad about that. I mean, even if they're stupid questions, it's all right. Send them to me anyways. You know, I'll answer them in kind. You send me a stupid question, I'll send you a stupid answer. How about that? All right? Tony Jones. Now, Tony Jones emails me, okay? Now, this guy calls me every once in a while, so on and so forth, okay? He's the guy, if you don't remember, he's the dude I dropped on his freaking head and beyond the mat, all right? His job in that movie, and Tony hates to admit it, but his job in that movie was to get me over. You know, I was the star. I mean, I was the one that they were trying to push. I was the one they were showing, hey, look at how good this guy is. So I nail him. I drop him on his head, man, finish him off. And, you know, now many years later, you know, Tony's got a good job. You know, I'm still in the wrestling business, which, yeah, it has its ups and downs, as anyone will tell you. But Tony's got a great job working at a credit card company and this and that, you know, but he never really made it in the professional wrestling business. I mean, he never did anything like Mike Modest. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he didn't do it for a living. You know, he wasn't hanging and banging and living the real wrestling life, man. And you know what? For better or for worse, it's what I wanted in my life, and I've got it. But Tony Jones, he calls me every once in a while, and he's like, hey, Mike Modest, you know, you got any bookings for me, man? You know, can you put me in touch with a promoter, man? You know, I don't really need the money. I just want to work, man, you know? I just love the business, yada, yada, yada. You know, hey, Mike Modest, can I come over and hang out with you? You know, maybe some of you will rub off on me and I'll get lucky in this business. You know, but you think for 1 minute Tony Jones really cares about Mike Modest? Do you think he gives a damn about me? Hell no, he doesn't give a damn about me. He's just a user like that damn Kenny Bowen. He's just somebody who wants to call me and soak up some of my success. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, if you're in this business, I know you got a couple of them. Hangers-ons is what I like to call them. Sorry, I didn't mean to get all worked up. Another email, and this one really upset me. It made me sad and then very angry. This one was from a gal named Katie. And she starts the email off with one of those little smiley faces. You know, she sends me a little 3D smiley face like, you're okay in my book, Mike. You're such a great guy. Thumbs up. Yee-hee. So she sends me this letter, man. And it was a trip because I remember this lady from back in the APW days. She was like Kitty Cat or something like that on the computer. And she was a big fan of mine, man, always marking out. She always come up and buy my pictures and buy my T-shirts. And she was such a big Mike Modest fan, you know. And, I liked her. She was a nice gal, you know. She really was. And I'm not gonna sit here and say anything bad about, you know, her just because she married this dude named Brown Bomber, Robert Thompson. Now, Thompson is a guy I've had a lot of matches with in the Bay Area, you know. He's like my local jobber, you know, the guy that I just, you know, he's my beaten doll. So anyway, she ends up marrying this guy, right? And, you know, she writes me this letter. She starts it off with the smiley face. Let me read the letter. It's ridiculous. And again, like I said, at first it made me sad and then very angry. And let me see if you agree with me on this. It says, "Dear Mr. Michael Modest, my name is Katie. I was a fan of yours back in the day here in the Bay Area. After your wrestling career took off and you flew all around the world and went to Japan and wrestled for WWE and WCW and Urban Wrestling and you just did so much, Mike, and Bomber just pretty much stayed in the Bay Area and did nothing, I met him and we fell in love. We got married and now we have two wonderful children. The thing is, Mike, ever since you returned to the Bay Area, my husband has been having nightmares. The dream he has most often is where you are beating him unmercifully around the head, neck, torso, and groin area. While you are beating him, he looks up. He clears the blood from his eyes so that he can see that his own two children are cheering for you, the great Mike Modest. Then he looks over at the corner of the ring and sees me, his wife, holding your ring jacket. Now, no doubt, Mike, my kids and I are huge Michael Modest fans, and we have followed your career from the United States to Japan to Ireland to Mexico. But I am worried about my husband's health. Every night he wakes up in cold sweats crying and saying that you are the meanest man he has ever known, and he fears that he has post-traumatic stress disorder. We went out to dinner the other night, and the kids asked me, Mommy, what does Mike Modest like to eat for dinner? My husband started crying and saying how he never could beat you, and you beat him so bad one time he was just happy to be alive when he woke up in the hospital. He says he never even came close to beating you. My husband refuses to drive through the town of Modesto because he feels that it's named after you and that secretly they love you and hate him. Brutal. You know, man, this letter goes on and on asking me, please don't come to San Jose. Please don't scare my husband. My kids laugh at him. Yada, yada, yada. Well, I'll tell you something, honey. Don't blame me because your husband's a coward. Don't come looking here for free advice, all right? I don't have time to worry about your family or your hefty cinch sack wearing husband of yours. Robert Thompson always lacked guts. He always lacked integrity. And if I see him at a gas station or a restaurant, I see him anywhere, I'm going to stomp his ass into the ground. I don't care if it's a Chuck E. Cheese and if it's at his kid's birthday party. At least then his kid will have a man to look up to. Your kids need a good role model. Bring them to the next Pro Wrestling Revolution show. I'll hook them up with some T-shirts. Slap them on the back and send them on their way, and I'll give you a slap on the ass. How about that, Katie? So that's the thing with me, man. You know what? Robert Thompson is a piece of garbage, man. He was a piece of garbage back then, and he's a piece of garbage now. And, Katie, there's your letter, and that's what I think about you asking me to save him. He's lucky he retired. He's lucky he's not wrestling anymore, because if he was, I'd slap the hell out of him, Katie. And I'd pull him over right in front of you and your kids, and I'd make your kids clap while I smacked him. And yes, you would be holding my ring jacket. It'd be his worst nightmare come true. So anyways, Vic Grimes. Man, I saw Vic. I called Vic Grimes the other day, and I talked to Vic Grimes, man. It was really nice talking to him. he's going through a rough time right now, man, you know, and that happens to everybody, man, in this business. You know, especially when you give it up, man. When you're not doing your passion, you aren't doing what you love anymore, it does take something out of you. And only people in this business, and only the people that earned being in this business a certain way can really appreciate what I'm saying. If it was handed to you on a silver platter, you won't understand. You'll never have a clue as to what I'm talking about. But I was talking to Vic Grimes, man, and you know, I urge you, go on YouTube and check out Vic Grimes. You know, he's a hardcore pioneer. The guy was the first guy to ever say, hey, fuck it, I'm just going to kill myself and jump off a scaffold and, you know, hold on to my balls and hope I live through it. It's not the kind of wrestling I really admire. It's not the kind of wrestling I really condone. But it is entertaining. Can't take anything away from that. But, you know, I remember, you know, training Vic. I was always having to hold him back, tell him, you know, dude, don't do that. You know, if you hurt yourself too badly, Vic, these fans ain't going to give a shit about you later. You think they're going to call you? You think they're going to write you letters and ask how you're doing? Nah. Vic, don't risk your ass for the pop, brother. Now, years later, he's finding it to be true. He quit wrestling. All those fans that admired him for risking so much for so little, all those fans are gone. They've moved on to their jobs, their lives, their wives. And there you are, Vic. God bless you, brother. I love you, man. Tender moments of pro wrestling. You know, I think I got to be running really close to my time on this, so I'm going to try to make this pretty quick. Tender moments in pro wrestling. Jim Gorman, the X-Lax incident. Jim Gorman came up to me at a show. I was a young, stupid worker, and Jim Gorman came up to me and he says, yeah, Mike, hey, I give you know, Dean Fugate some X-Lax, and you know, you got to make sure you guys are in the opener. You got to bump him around a lot. Otherwise, you know, if he doesn't shit his pants, it's just not really funny. So, me being a dumb kid, and I think I might have even told this story on a previous episode, but it's a good story. Me being a dumb kid, I bring him into the ring. We go in there. I'm bumping Dean around. Dean's like, hey, take it easy on me, man. Before the match, he tells me, Mike, I think it might be the water. Now, we're wrestling in Sacramento. It's like a whole hour and a half outside of the Bay Area. But, you know, he's acting like we're in freaking Mexico. And he's telling me, I'm really sick. You know, it might be the water. But anyways, I told him I wouldn't bump him. I get him in there. I start bumping him around. I give him a big body slam and do a big gut stomp on him. And he shits his pants. That's when I realized the rib was on me. It wasn't on Dean Fugate, because I was the one that was wrestling the time limit draw match with this guy. So I had to wrestle for another, like, 5-10 minutes. It was supposed to be, like, for another 5, but they were adding a minute for every 2 or something like that. So we ended up working longer with shit drooping out of Dean Fugate's pants. Just an interesting little story. Check out Dennis Allen on YouTube, man. I watched a video, The Best of Dennis Allen. He was a WWE jobber, and if you watch Dennis do his craft, I mean, he knows how to get other guys over. He took some tremendous bumps for many, many stars. I urge you to check him out. Pay jobbers their homage, man. It's a lost art in this business. Everybody thinks they're a superstar. No one understands that maybe they aren't the superstar, maybe that their best chances at making it in this business are on a smaller level, getting somebody else special over. Anyways, great job, Dennis. Awesome stuff. So anyways, man, you've been listening to Mike Modest. This has been Modest Joint. Wrestling is hardcore. Please email me at michael.modest@gmail.com. If you're interested in the Iron Dojo, in the Iron Wrestling Academy, please give me a call. Give the dojo a call at 510-415-5698. Again, that number, 510-415-5698. You can also email me about that. Again, my email, michael.modest@gmail.com. Peace!